AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The new Congress convenes 90 minutes from now. First up will be the votes for leadership. CBS's Nicole Killian says it may be a close call for House Speaker Mike Johnson.
He met with members of the conservative House Freedom Caucus Thursday, but several Republicans wouldn't tip their hand about whether they'll back him.
CBS's Katie Weiss is in New Orleans, where federal investigators are searching the Airbnb this week's truck attacker had stayed at.
We know that several specialized engineer teams, bomb teams, have been deployed to that residence to go take a closer look at the evidence that was discovered there.
President Biden has blocked Japan's Nippon Steel from buying U.S. steel for $15 billion. More from CBS's Nicole Skanger.
The president saying a strong domestically owned and operated steel industry represents an essential national security priority, and it's critical for resilient supply chains.
U.S. Steel has threatened to sue the Biden administration if it did block the deal. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. We've all set the impossible New Year's resolutions to lose 50 pounds or to give up sweets completely. But experts say to make your goals achievable, remember Rome wasn't built in a day.
The goal, it's for a year. So like if we're 2 weeks in and we forgot what we wrote down, you know, on January 1st when we were totally pumped writing down our goals, that's okay. That's all right. That's where you can bring in self-compassion. Be like, this is something that's important to me and it's going to be a journey. So that's why the goal is cool to have. That like gives us direction to aim towards something, but having those baby steps, having the processes in place because it's a journey.
That's Emily Wright, an organizational impact coach at Lakeland Care Plus Consulting. And let's look at the population. As the nation rang in the new year, Lisa Hale has the stats.
341,145,670 people with the start of the new year. This represents an increase of 2,640,171 people from last January 1st and 9,696,329 people from Census Day, April 1st, 2020. In January 2025, this month, the United States is expected to experience one birth every 9 seconds and one death every 9.4 seconds. Meanwhile, net international migration is expected to add one person to the United States population every 23.2 seconds. The combination of births, deaths, and net international migration increases the U.S. population by one person every 21.2 seconds. The projected world population on January 1st was over 8 billion people, an increase of over 71 million from New Year's Day 2024.
And during this month alone, 4 births and 2 deaths are expected worldwide every second. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
It's the Packers and the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Green Bay has beat Chicago now 11 times in a row. 3 Packers players named to the Pro Bowl, Rashawn Gary, and 2 free agents who joined the team this year, Josh Jacobs and safety Xavier McKinney.
Definitely special. You know, obviously this organization bringing in 2 great guys, 2 great leaders, and helping be a part of, you know, already successful team, and just taking us that much further, taking it another step further.
NBA, the Bucks tried to make a comeback, scoring 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, but lost at home to the Nets, 113-110. Doc Rivers asked, have the Bucks played the right way since their win in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, well, honestly, I thought we have played the right way overall. Since Vegas, we've been shorthanded. There's not a lot of nights like this where we play offense like the way we play tonight. So, yeah.
The Bucks host the Trailblazers 7 o'clock tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and cold today, our high in the mid-teens, but the wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20 is going to keep that wind chill below zero all day long. Tonight, mostly clear, down to around zero for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high once again in the low to mid-teens. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clements. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Friend and colleague Dominic Salvia, host of the Dom Salvia Show from 4 to 6 p.m. across Civic Media, joining us at 10:33. He was one of my first guest co-hosts when we first started the show. It is our year anniversary today for
today.
Matt Nair on Air.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I honestly cannot believe it's been a year.
Yeah.
It's gone really quickly.
And Dom was there for, I think it was your Monday or Tuesday, come in and do the show with you.
Yep.
That was
hold my hand a little bit because we did. So Dominic's going to be joining us coming up after 10:33. Next hour, we will lighten things up in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk junk drawers.
Yeah.
And do you have more than one?
Exactly.
I certainly do. It was a junk shelf. It's a junk shelf. We'll talk about that after 11 o'clock. Do you have more than one junk drawer? What's the oddest thing in your junk drawer?
Where is it in
where
your
is
home?
It? Yeah, where is it in your house? Where is the junk drawer? Do you have more than one? We'll take your calls about that after 11 o'clock. Tyler Amass will be here from Milwaukee Record, and they have a big NA event going on this weekend. Dry January, baby.
Yep.
A lot of people abstaining from alcohol during the month of January.
Yeah.
This has become a much bigger thing, I want to say, over the last 5 years.
Well, just the NA movement as far as, you know, when I was a kid, you had O'Doul's and you had Sharps.
And that was about it.
That's about it.
Yes.
And now the non-alcohol beer, spirits, wine industry is just growing and growing with a lot of regular breweries taking on these projects.
Well, so. And I think a lot more young people are not consuming alcohol the way that my generation did.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
That is a great thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that event. If you want to check that out, it's happening this weekend in Milwaukee. And of course, we will wrap it up today, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's that sinking feeling edition.
You've lost that sinking feeling.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, and keep it on the lighter side, we understand that there are many, many things in the world right now that just shouldn't be. But at least for that segment,
yes,
we try to keep it a little bit lighter. I think if you can't laugh, you're going to die.
I agree.
I have to laugh. I try to laugh at least once a day.
I've seen it happen. It's pretty spectacular. So you'd laugh here once a day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
It just is. We wanted to start off, though, with an article that I found in WPR this morning from journalist Danielle Kading. And the headline reads, after failed attempts, Wisconsin lawmakers will try again to address PFAS. That would be good.
That'd be great.
Republican lawmakers worked with Governor Evers to set aside $125 million under the current two-year budget to address PFAS, but they have been at odds over how to spend that money. Senator Eric Wimberger, Republican from Oconto, says he'll reintroduce a measure to tackle PFAS by the end of January. Quote, the money just needs to be focused on the actual remediation, getting people help, and eliminate the liability exposure, unquote. Last year, Wimberger and other GOP colleagues introduced a bill. It called for spending money on grants for local governments, landowners, and landfills to test wells and treatment plants for the PFAS. This also would have given grants to landowners who have PFAS contamination that they didn't cause.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important, that seems to me to be the sticking point about should those people who did not cause the PFAS that are showing up in their property be held responsible as the polluters?
Should they, wait, say that one more time.
If I'm a landowner.
Yes.
And we test my well and there's PFAS contamination.
Yes.
That I did not incur.
Yeah.
Should I be held liable as a polluter?
Oh, that's, I don't think so, but how do you, what's the testing? What's the processes involved? Then yes, if you have something that's substantial and you can show beyond a shadow of a doubt, great. But
That's the sticking point, yeah. Though. In a letter earlier, December 20th, in a letter to the governor, Wimberger said many landowners would be deemed polluters under state law, which requires anyone who causes, possesses, or controls a hazardous substance that's been released into the environment to clean it up.
I guess my question then, just because, well, because of the party that is proposing the bill, who are we looking at then?
Who's going to be exempt?
Are we looking at John Q. Farmer, who's got a well that has just happened? Or are we looking down the road to a factory?
Right.
Who are we protecting here?
Yeah. Wimberger wrote in his letter, an attempt by an innocent landowner to get clean water or help remediate pollution will financially ruin them. Our laws should not be make doing the right thing a life-changing dilemma for innocent parties. I don't disagree with that. But there are people who are responsible for these PFAS. Should they not be held accountable for this?
According to this, no. According to this, no. Which, once again, if there is a, forgive the term, a smell test, you know, is this a small amount of, is this a small property? Is this one person? Is it personal property? Okay, we can talk about this. Are we talking about a major company? Are we talking about a place that uses chemicals? Are we that manufacture items that, I don't know, have PFAS in them?
Yeah. The governor has repeatedly asked Republican lawmakers to release the money to address contamination, PFAS contamination. It's been more than 500 days since that money was set aside. And the Joint Finance Committee is still sitting on it.
Yes, amongst other monies.
Yes.
For other projects.
Senator Brad Paff from Onalaska, Democrat, said that money should have been released. Town of Campbell residents in his district had been relying on bottled water for almost 4 years. That's unacceptable.
And that's something that we've talked about in the past. You know, when we think about people drinking bottled water, we immediately think of Flint, Michigan. We only think of Flint, Michigan.
But it's here.
But it's here in Wisconsin. And the Joint Finance Committee is sitting on that money because they want to protect polluters.
It certainly feels that way.
It feels very much so like they want to make sure their buddies or future buddies
or campaign contributors
exactly aren't being held liable for the damage they've caused to our to property, to our natural landscapes. I shouldn't be surprised that there's a little rider and they're saying, oh, by the way, no one's responsible.
Yeah, we can't hold anyone accountable for this.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point now where the Biden administration has come in and given us money for this, for PFAS cleanup as well, going to the communities.
To use this funding.
The communities will apply. This will not, as far as I was reading in the article, it will not go to the state to then be directed towards the communities. Because then it's just going to compound the $150 million.
That they're already sitting on. Yeah, exactly. Paff said in his letter, the residents and taxpayers in the state of Wisconsin shouldn't be subject to drinking bottled water for years because we're arguing over who has the liability of a forever chemical causing health concerns to Wisconsin residents. Republican lawmakers say they're worried that farmers could be held liable for spreading PFAS-contaminated biosolids on their farm fields, but the DNR has already said it does not and does not intend to pursue farmers for unintentional PFAS contamination.
That's my whole point, is are there tests to figure out what is intentional versus unintentional? If it's unintentional, so you can't deal, you can't help, then fine.
Yeah.
But if you are a company that is making items that contain PFAS, well, then guess what? Got to crack that checkbook open.
Paff says innocent landowners need to be protected, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks Democrats and Republicans can work together on legislation to address PFAS. He said that includes eliminating PFAS at the source.
Which is something that, oh, what's that state next to us that does all the cool things? Minnesota did.
Yes.
They banned that.
Yes. Kicked in on January 1st in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Paff also says he'll reintroduce legislation to ban non-essential use of PFAS in consumer products. The Republican also says he supports the idea of phasing out PFAS. And as you said, Greg, they just kicked that in Minnesota on the 1st.
Yeah.
Last year, Republicans and Democrats introduced dueling bills on groundwater standards for PFAS. Both proposals failed to move forward. Paff says he's looking at legislation to allow groundwater standards to move forward. And Wimberger thinks action on groundwater limits will move forward within the next year. It would be nice to see something get done.
Then this would be major, too. And you know, like, you don't want to hold people accountable? Fine. Throw in $2,000, $5,000 extra every home that has to buy, that's had to buy bottled water for the past four years.
4 years.
You've taken away their ability to access clean drinking water, and they've had to budget that money in. And guess what? That's not cheap over 4 years. So let's throw some money in them for them, too. You're going to protect your buddies? Let's help the people. I don't know. It's very frustrating. 500 days.
It's inexcusable.
And when you listen to the Joint Finance Committee members talk about it, they're just so flippant. As they're like, well, we just can't come to an agreement. Meanwhile, people can't drink.
Your constituents.
Yep. It's so shameful. It's so shameful.
Around 90 public water systems in Wisconsin must now treat their water or drill a new well to meet federal regulations. PFAS have been found in public and private wells, communities large and small. They include the towns of Campbell, Stella, and Peshtigo, along with Madison, Eau Claire, and Wausau.
Yep.
So this is a widespread issue.
Yeah.
Again, now that they're finally coming back to work after a couple months.
Well, give it time. I mean, they got a solid like 2-3 days, and they're going to take another,
they got to take a break.
11 and a half months
this
year.
It's exhausting.
I know.
It's exhausting being a Wisconsin assemblyman.
Collecting a check for literally hours of work.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunian.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop-a-ray.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream, we stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Dom Salvia will be joining us. He's the host of the Dom Salvia Show, 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. So I hope you can stick around for that. We're going to talk about Mike Johnson.
Oh, grand.
Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. What are the odds?
Speaker of the House for how long?
Yeah, for, well, at least this hour.
Yeah.
We'll see how long he lasts. He might actually squeak through.
We'll see.
And then Aaron Rodgers had thoughts about his last 2 years. And I can't wait to hear what Dom thinks about what Aaron Rodgers said. And what you guys think, because, yeah, it's making a couple of ripples.
I mean, I was going to say this right now. We got a lot of people on the live stream right now.
We do.
I'm looking at you now, right now, live stream people. Hello. There's a lot of you there. Make some comments. Let us know. Text us. Call us.
Maybe we're just background noise.
Possibly, but we're still. I'm still looking at you. You can still see me. Call us. Call us.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin. Calvin barely speaks. So
Calvin speaks.
He speaks, but I'm not going to speak for him.
I'm always thrilled to be here. incredible to be the producer of Matt Nair on Air.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
No, seriously. Thank you for bringing us along on this journey. Thank you for bringing us along for the show. We really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys. And hopefully we're going to have a guest on Monday for Beyond the Cheese.
Oh, boy.
Wisconsin Knitwear.
What'd you just say?
Wisconsin Knitwear.
Okay.
Maybe we can get some MOA merch.
That would be amazing.
Maybe we can get them to do like a limited run for us.
Yes. Or a limited run, but then like three pieces of merch that only we have.
Ooh.
Like it says
special.
Like,
special
like yours
merch.
Says thing one, mine says thing two, Calvin says thing three.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
We'll wait till we get him in studio and then we'll put the pressure on him.
We'll lock the doors from the outside.
Yeah, you can't leave until you give us what we want. I did want to mention this, hearing a lot of discussion about this. This is also from Wisconsin Public Radio, from Sarah Lair. Wisconsin Elections Commission to investigate egregious election failure that left nearly 200 Madison ballots uncounted. In a special meeting yesterday, the commission chair of the Wisconsin Election Commission criticized the error and asked why it took more than 6 weeks for this issue to be reported. That seems kind of a long lag.
Yeah.
The 193 uncounted absentee ballots from three of Madison's election wards would not have changed the outcome of the race.
Nope.
Any races.
No.
However, you still have to look at allegations of election-related problems.
Yes.
So a complaint has not yet been filed over these uncounted ballots. Elections Commission Chair Ann Jacobs said she believes the commission should act immediately. At her request, commissioners voted 6-0 yesterday to authorize an investigation. Of those 193 uncounted ballots, 125 were from west of downtown Madison, another 67 ballots near Shorewood Hills, and one single ballot got missorted, according to a memo from the clerk's office. Around the city of Madison, more than 174,000 votes were cast in the fall election. But again, I guess the question is, why did it take 6 weeks for this issue to be brought to them?
I think it took 6 weeks because someone found the issue. I think if it hadn't been brought up, it would have been ignored forever.
Just kind of gone by the wayside?
Yeah, because this is a problem. This is a problem in many municipalities. And without getting into massive details, because I can't write in this moment, municipalities have a problem with curing ballots. I know for a fact that they're not being called. They're not being cured. They're not being brought in, called to say, please fix this information so your ballot can be counted. I know that for a fact. I can't go any deeper because my sources begged me not to say who they are. But
should we storm the Capitol on Monday?
We'll just storm Kenosha. It's close to my house. It's not Kenosha, but it's close to my house.
We don't want to take you out of your way.
No, exactly. But yeah, I mean, this is a problem. And I'm not talking about elections stolen. I'm not talking about 60 failed court cases. I'm talking about these little things because you want your vote to be counted,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And I would be very upset if I looked at myvote.wi.gov and saw that it wasn't counted and asked why. Well, there was a problem. Well, how come I wasn't contacted? So now I just have no voice in this one election. And there'll be people who say, well, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal to me. It should be a big deal to everybody.
To all of us.
Because it's our right to vote. So I'm hoping that they find out what the problem was. And I kind of hope they look at other municipalities and say, hey, is everyone doing the work?
Make sure we're following the procedures we're supposed to be following.
Correct.
Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. We got about 2 minutes left. What did you want to say?
Yeah, it occurs to me that part of this problem, you know, that it's pretty much inexcusable that this happened, perhaps. But perhaps part of the solution would be that they can start counting those ballots, processing those ballots as soon as they start getting them in during the elections. I mean, the Republicans blocked counting the absentee ballots before election day. As soon as those ballots start to come in, people should be able to be processing them, and they should be put in and, you know, that run through the machine, so they don't have this kind of backlog going up, because these things are getting stored. You know, they're getting them, you know, weeks before the election happens, and that makes room for then something like this to happen.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Mark, maybe with the numbers a little bit closer as we go into this next legislative session, maybe they'll actually be able to pass that.
Yeah.
All kinds of places do it around the country. They start counting the ballots the day before the election, and it seems to be working just fine.
Yep, and no shenanigans.
Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it. We have news coming up next. When we come back, Dom Salvia will be here to kick around Mike Johnson's speakership. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is The Vast, statewide, countrywide, and global on the Civic Media app. Civic Media radio station.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has ordered an investigation into the Madison City Clerk's office after nearly 200 ballots were not counted in the November election. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei-Olson has the story.
The day after Christmas, the clerk's office made public that 193 people's absentee ballots were not processed. According to a timeline from the mayor's office, staff from the clerk's office found the first batch of sealed absentee ballots on November 12th and the second batch on December 3rd. That timeline says the clerk's office first asked the Wisconsin Elections Commission about the issue on December 18th, notified the city attorney the next day, and told the mayor's office the day after that. That means they didn't tell any outside agencies about the problem until more than a month after the first batch of ballots was found. And that delay is part of the problem for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Chair Ann Jacobs says rather than wait for someone to file a complaint about the uncounted ballots, they want to investigate as soon as possible.
My inclination was that this was such a serious oversight. I didn't want to wait for a complaint. I felt it was important that the commission act promptly, and I have real questions about what all happened here, and I would want to know those answers sooner rather than later. Some of it is just speed. I thought this was so egregious that it was important we move immediately.
Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway's office is starting an investigation of their own. She says she fully supports the commission's investigation and that the city will cooperate with anything the commission requests. She even said she would delay the city's investigation if that would make things easier for the commission. The mayor had previously said she was open to taking, quote, whatever corrective action is necessary, end quote. This is the first formal investigation since the Wisconsin Elections Commission was created in 2016.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tom Cruise is getting into the casting business. The Mission Impossible star is currently looking for a younger version of himself to play the role of Ethan Hunt. The next two installments of the franchise, those would be films 8 and 9, will be prequels. Rumor has it the eighth film will be Cruise's last on screen, but he will still continue to produce the franchise. Glenn Powell was initially rumored to take over the role, but those rumblings have recently been shot down. No word yet on whether or not Cruise will expect his younger self to do his own stunts. Could be a deal breaker. Sticking with the action thriller genre, Viola Davis will play the president in the upcoming film G20. Variety reports the Oscar winner will play Commander-in-Chief Danielle Sutton, who narrowly avoids being kidnapped, then proceeds to save her family and the world. The film will be directed by Patricia Riggin and drop on Amazon Prime this coming spring. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and cold today, with scattered flurries possible and winds whipping out of the northwest, slapping wind chills on top of high temperatures only reaching the mid-teens. This is making it really feel sub-zero. And by tonight, it'll be feeling near 15 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 10 degrees at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we'll lighten things up next hour. We want to talk junk drawers. Do you have more than one? And where is your junk drawer? This is related to something I did on New Year's Day. I had a junk shelf, essentially, and I found some things. Wow, they were practically artifacts. It was not good. So we'll be talking junk drawers after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, though, our friend and colleague and host of the Dom Salvia Show from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network, Dominic Salvia, with us in studio. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jane. Great to be with you. Greg, Calvin, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. You were one of my first additional co-hosts, extra people to hold my hand when Matinair on Air first got underway. It's our one-year anniversary.
I can't even believe it's been a year.
I know.
That's amazing.
It goes so quickly.
And it's gone so fast, and it seems like yesterday, but also at the same time, so much has changed. Right?
Oh, you know,
it's
yes.
This weird existence we have.
Yes. It's trying to keep on top of everything and keep your head above water because things break so quickly.
Yeah.
The news just breaks so quickly now. I wanted to start off, though, with Moses Mike Johnson. And the reason that I call him that is because he said God essentially told him that he was meant to be Speaker of the House.
Oh, good.
So then it should be a shoe-in today. Maybe not so much.
No.
Maybe not so much.
Maybe not. Thomas Massey, the libertarian from Kentucky, I believe, is a hard no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how hard no is he, we ask? We have a clip. Calvin, can you play that clip?
If Chip Roy were asked to serve as chairman of the Rules Committee, would that be enough to get your vote for Mike Johnson?
Oh, no. You can pull all my fingernails out. You can shove bamboo up in them. You can start cutting off my fingers. I am not voting for Mike Johnson tomorrow. And you can take that to the bank.
No, who are you voting for, Thomas? Who are you voting for?
Let's take it to the bank.
I give him
until 6 o'clock tonight to crumble.
Yeah.
He will crumble.
He better come out of Congress with, like, 8 digits showing. And also, if you recognize that voice asking the question, that is Mr. Matt Gaetz on his first day at his new job.
On OAN.
On OAN. The clip.
Oh, they don't do background checks at OAN, huh?
Oh, no.
Apparently not. Background, schmackground, who cares?
His background is actually just a ratings boost, if you ask them. But what's funny is that when I clipped that original thing, it's 50 seconds. But that whole thing right there we listened to was 23. The rest is all, get OAN online and take it anywhere you want to listen to. Now only $4.99 a month.
I would suggest that you check out Matt Gaetz' new program just to get a look at all the work he's had done.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
You guys, there's a plastic surgery cliff, I'm telling you. And he's on the edge of jumping off, boy.
There will be no wrinkles.
No wrinkles. None.
No frowning. There will be
no
frowning.
No emotion will be shown.
But back to Mike Johnson and whether or not he will be speaker. Of course, the vote is going to be held today. And as you said, we already have, I think there's two. Thomas Massey is the firmest one who says he will not vote for Mike Johnson. If Johnson doesn't get it, who does that leave them? Jim Jordan? Because he tried this with McCarthy. I think Jordan is just about as popular as Matt Gaetz.
Right. I mean, the bench is pretty lean over on that side. And we just went through this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot of the same players are still there. And what do? You go back to them? You know, I think ultimately it would probably end up being Johnson simply because there's nobody else.
Isn't it amazing, though, that the GOP in the Congress has these superstars, and I use that term with air quotes doing the heavy lifting, but like your Lauren Boebert, your MTG, your Jim Jordan, none of these superstars could be the speaker because of their own baggage. You got to find a guy like Mike Johnson, who everyone's like, who? And now, even now he's in the spotlight, nobody likes him.
Well, and they just feel that he did not shove their agenda hard enough, and he actually negotiated.
Oh, my gosh.
He negotiated with Democrats.
Well, and he's forced to. I mean, the numbers mandate it. And I don't care what Republican steps up. If it's not going to be Johnson, if it's an MTG or someone else, they're going to be faced with the same numbers. And you're going to have to do something to reach across the aisle simply because of the math.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Mike Johnson, he's got one vote.
One vote.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's got so much wiggle room.
Oh, what about the mandate? There's such a mandate that the Republicans claim to have.
The 1.56% mandate?
That 49.9%.
The less than 50%.
Yeah. That didn't hit 50% uh-huh. mandate. That's uh-huh. good to know.
Oh, the people have spoken and they said, I guess.
Oh, I'm going to stay home.
Former Trump White House Associate Counsel Mae Mailman.
What?
Mae Mailman. Says that she's more optimistic that Mike Johnson will get across the finish line, if only just by one vote. Only Republicans can end Republicans' own honeymoon. And that's why Speaker Johnson is the right choice. Who's after Johnson? Thomas Massie won't tell you who the next person is. Chip Roy won't tell you who the next person is. Matt Gaetz, now from the sidelines, won't tell you who the next person is. I've seen Matt Gaetz floated because you do not have to be a member of the House to be the Speaker of the House. I've also seen Elon Musk suggest it.
I mean, but it is a crazy world, but no, that's not happening.
King Doge is too busy.
I mean, Jabba the Musk.
Jabba's got other things to do. Please.
You guys bring Jabba the Musk in here. I love that.
Oh, yeah. He's our pet. He's our mascot.
That's our mascot.
Yep. Made by Scott from Shorewood.
Yes. Thank you, Scott.
We love him. It's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah, I mean, or it's not going to be, and like at like 12:02, they'd be like, it's done. Oh, okay, I guess.
Wouldn't that be something if they actually got it done by noon?
If they did, you know, and that's the bigger observation here is what impact does Trump have on this process, right? You would think if this is the cult, as I say, and everyone is going to step in line, this should pass. You mean the leader has spoken,
right? Yep.
But Massey's not having it, and some of these folks aren't having it. They have their own motivations and their own circumstances. And hell, if they got elected overwhelmingly in their districts and by greater margins than Trump won, they have their own mandate. You know what I'm saying? To represent their constituents. And if Massey's a libertarian saying our debt's out of control and we can't do this and that and that, and he's going to do the Yakuza, get his fingers cut off before he votes for that. Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
And a Miami Vice episode as well. But besides that, this is really a reflection of the leadership or lack thereof of Donald Trump and what kind of actual power he will hold sway over in the Congress.
That's a very interesting point that you make. And I will be curious to see again how firm their spines will stand. And yes, it is their responsibility as an elected official to represent their constituents, not the agenda of Donald Trump, right?
Yes.
They don't serve the president. They serve their ostensibly.
Right. That's how it's supposed to be.
Right. That's the way it's supposed to work. Donald Trump, by the way, on Truth Social today said, good luck today for Speaker Mike Johnson, a fine man of great ability who is very close to having 100% support. A win for Mike today will be a big win for the Republican Party and yet another acknowledgement of our 129-year most consequential presidential election.
Does it hurt to have to read his words sometimes?
There's a twitch.
Yeah, like your eyes start to go cross.
I wonder, am I saying this right? Is this coming across properly?
Right here. It's going to be interesting to see.
I love that. Good luck, Mike, with a little tussle of the hair.
Go get him, Tiger.
Go get him. Yeah.
Here's a nickel. Get a milkshake on me.
How about a Fresca?
Yeah.
A woman who has a bio, America First and MAGA Kingdom, chimed in on Truth Social. Good luck with Mike Johnson as your speaker. He's 100% swamp. We tried to tell you no to him. Watch how he undermines your agenda and make it look like it's never his doing.
But that's ultimately the problem is that, they bit so hard on all of his catchphrases and drain the swamp is one of the biggest ones. And he is in no way, shape or form attempted. If anything, he's filled it overboard. Like I said this on the show, this new pick of cabinet members is just a reboot of The Apprentice. And that's it. And it's swampier than ever. And it's just like, I don't understand how, like, this individual who said, oh, this is the swamp. how she can still support him then if he's not doing what he says he's going
to do. Our swamp people. You see how that works?
Mike Johnson is a Democrat in disguise.
Right. He's a rhino.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We've heard Don Jr., I think it was last week or the week before, talked about it's not the Democrats that are our biggest issue. It's the Republicans. It's just because they have an R behind their name doesn't make them part of MAGA.
Right. They're rhinos.
They should instead of having an R, should say either DTJ. That's when they know.
That's how MAGA. Yes, that's how you know.
And it's interesting. Some of the commenters on Truth Social are not happy with the president-elect endorsing Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
What are you doing? At some point, he's not our guy.
Does the mob turn against Donald Trump? I think it'll take a little bit longer for that to happen. But as you mentioned, it was sold so hard. Mm-hmm. And all these things that Donald Trump's going to do, and if he doesn't, he's not able to do them or to the degree that he claims he's going to, and it looks evident that he's, surrounding himself with corruption and grift, and all of a sudden some of the decisions made are going to negatively impact some of those Trump supporters, those things will continue to add on to each other, and at some point, perhaps, Donald Trump will feel the pressure that a lot of those other Republicans who have either left Congress or got primaried out by, MAGA to the right, will he succumb to that? Will the monster eventually eat the man?
But don't you think? I think true Trump supporters will do anything in their power to blame anyone else but him, no matter how much they suffer personally.
But I think at some point, in what you're saying, Dom, I think they will take that mode of thought and eventually blame him so they don't have to take the blame. He's changed. He's not the guy I voted for.
The swamp got to him.
The swamp, he's infected his
swamp
brain.
Swamp fever, baby.
He is I can't believe I'm going to say, he's a rhino. I am what Trump really represents. He doesn't anymore. Because they'll find any way they can to rework the rules and the regulations and all the standards to make sure that they just don't have to feel anything but excitement when really they feel nothing but fear and anger.
We're talking about Mike Johnson going for another round as Speaker of the House and whether or not he's going to have enough votes to squeak through. I've seen some other things online where it's like, oh, it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries. No,
it's
not going to be Hakeem Jeffries.
It's going to be Jane Mattner.
Yeah, I'm sure. Why not?
Well, I mean, what kind of dysfunction would it have to come down to for
Hakeem
Jeffries? You know what I mean? For real.
I think it would have to be massive, massive miscommunication on the Republicans' part where, all Democrats vote for Hakeem Jeffries. And then, three of them just like, as a joke, wait, you did? I did. Oh, God. Oh, we're in so much trouble.
Oh, no. What did we do? Well, we will keep an eye on Mr. Mike Johnson and see how he fares. Kevin McCarthy, it went 19 votes, didn't it?
15.
Oh, 15 only, fi- only like 15.
Almost but 2 weeks. I mean, it was a long,
drawn-out process. We'll see how many rounds. There should be an award for that.
I think I bet you if I call in Vegas right now, they probably got some money.
They got some lines on it?
I did see this morning 34% that he will get it in the first round and 70 or 80% that he'll eventually get it. And this is what I'm saying. Come on, it's America. You can bet on anything.
Pretty much. Dominic Salvia is our guest. Catch Dom on his show from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. News. When we return, Aaron Rodgers has words.
Oh, more Aaron Rodgers words. It's my favorite.
We will share words from Aaron Rodgers when we come back. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. An hour from now, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's That Sinking Feeling edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Our friend and colleague Dom Salvia is our guest for the 1 year anniversary of Matt Nair on Air.
So glad
to see you, Dominic.
Who brought the beer? Oh, was that my job?
That was your job.
That was your job. All right. Dom. We want to talk about Aaron Rodgers having words.
Words.
Aaron Rodgers, according to J.R. Ratcliffe, who was just on with us yesterday from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headline reads, Aaron Rodgers acknowledges Sunday might be his last NFL game.
So you're telling me there's a loving and all-merciful Lord. Holy cow. <Yeah. laughs>
The other thing he said is that the last 2 years with the Jets were the best of his life.
Come on.
How many?
Didn't he win a Super Bowl with the Packers?
He did win a Super Bowl.
Apparently that sucked.
And several MVPs also, did he not?
He won at least two, I know that, back to back.
Well, I think he's talking about his hourly rate, considering he paid about 4 minutes last year and got benched last week. He's really increased his hourly rate.
Yes, he's done well. He's done well that way. I mean, playing time, not so much.
But getting paid? You know, all right.
You know what really sucks about this whole thing, besides him completely, is the fact that in like 3, 4, 5 years, he'll come back to Green Bay and they're going to retire his number and everyone's going to act like, oh my God, he's back. When really this is, I mean, Brett Favre went to the Vikings and he went to the Jets because he's a football player. It's in their brain. They can't stop doing it. But he just is very good at being insulting. And that's insulting to any Green Bay Packer fan, if you ask me. And Green Bay, hold on to that memory for a little bit longer. Just like, it really bothers me. It's such a disrespectful. Give back your ring.
Do you think it would, do you think he's purposefully trolling Green Bay fans?
Yeah, oh, I think he's purposely trolling. I don't
just
think
in general, everybody.
But he doesn't have an he doesn't really think about what his words have an impact, because he never thinks about what his impact is. He's Aaron Rodgers. He can do no wrong.
It's interesting to me that he thinks he's going to skate off into the sunset. And he'll land somewhere for sure. He's going to land somewhere. He'll
got to worry about paying the rent.
Well,
you know?
There's that. He can buddy up with Pat McAfee, and they can go on the road and do the McAfee and Rodgers show.
I have a feeling that if Rodgers even tried to pitch that idea, McAfee would be like, I'm good. I think McAfee likes Rodgers when he gets him, but Pat McAfee does not want
that. Is Rodgers a paid guest on that show?
Probably not. I don't know. I mean,
does he do anything for free?
This is what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess I'm doing it wrong, Jane.
Yeah. Right. Aaron Rodgers says, this game has given me a lot. I've given a lot back to it, and I'm thankful for it. I won't be thinking about that on game day. I'll just be enjoying this. I'm trying to stay in the moment, but of course it's been a long career. Oh, spare me. I'm really proud of what I've been able to be a part of and what I've been able to accomplish. And I'm also looking forward to a nice mental and physical rest.
Ayahuasca, baby.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Apparently, he's become very in touch with his inner Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and that's, I think I asked.
Which is not a bad thing.
No, right. There's nothing wrong with it. And I asked that question. When you decide, when you make a decision to take a mental health journey, to whether it's fix certain aspects of yourself, just go on a walk with yourself and try to say, who am I and what do I want in the world? How do I be better to myself, thus being better to other people? It makes you a more put together, a better person. Aaron Rodgers' journey has been the opposite. He's gotten, you know, he ate mud with his ex and he takes ayahuasca and he's immunized from the truth. And he's just a turd. He sucks.
It doesn't seem like he's become more magnanimous and open and warm and all of those things that you would think would come from this vast self-reflection.
Oh, perhaps what he's seeing, the reflection isn't what it really should be. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, I remember him sitting there when he was during the draft, right? Guy goes through his head when he didn't get drafted, didn't get drafted, right? And then coming to Green Bay and sitting behind Favre and finally getting the chance and breaking through. And I mean, that's a great story right there. If he ended right then and there. Yeah. But then, you know, he dipped into the whole COVID thing with I am immunized and on the ayahuasca going on and getting involved in the politics. I mean, someone brought him up for a vice presidential candidate. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, wait, what? And he toyed with it. You know, he played with us.
That just shows he's an egomaniac too.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, it just, he is just the stereotypical dude now talking about politics. No one cares about your political bents, man. Seriously. Shut up and throw a football.
Well, doesn't anybody tell him to stay in his lane? No, or does Rodgers have to stay in his lane? Just shut up and throw.
Yeah. No. He can't even do that.
Dominic, who's coming up on your show this afternoon?
Former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays. James Santel joins me on Friday. We're going to get into some of the legal issues going on, including the U.S. Supreme Court. Whether or not Attorney General Merrick Garland is, in fact, the worst attorney general. And that's saying a lot considering Bob Barr, but we'll get into it with Jim later.
Dominic Salvia, check him out today from 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you so much, Dom. Really appreciate
it. Thank you. Congratulations, guys.
News appreciate coming up next. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review, James Santel joins me. Was Merrick Garland the worst AG ever? Plus, updates on the speaker's race and the Wisconsin Election Commission investigation. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. A
Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson is in a tight bid for re-election today. CBS's Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill.
Kentucky's Tom Massey said he is a hard no. Indiana's Victoria Spartz is still deciding. And Texas Representative Michael Cloud says he wants changes and is exploring a third option.
A U.S. airline getting its comeuppance for keeping passengers waiting. Correspondent Jim Krasula.
It's a first for the U.S. Department of Transportation. The federal agency has fined JetBlue Airlines $2 million for chronic flight delays.
President Biden is headed to New Orleans Monday in the aftermath of the massacre that killed 14 people. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
A statement from the White House says the president and first lady will grieve with the families and community members impacted by this tragic attack. Biden says he's ordered an accelerated investigation into the attack.
Nippon Steel says it'll sue after President Biden blocked its acquisition of U.S. Steel today. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot.